What's up, what's up? You are now listening to The Limitless Experience with Eric. Thank you for tuning in. This is a recap of Season 3, Episode 1 of Raising Kanan, titled Home Sweet Home. Kim is here today. What's up, Kim?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Got Deron here with me. What's going on, bro?
What's good, man?
Yep. So, before we get into Power Raising Kanan, we didn't meet for Force with Tommy. What are you guys' thoughts on Force really quick?
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I can't say if it was better than Season 1, but it was. I thought it was pretty good. I just don't know if we're going to get another season, just the way everything went down.
I was definitely shocked when the son killed the father. I didn't see that coming at all.
I didn't either.
Yeah, no one saw that coming, but there was a lot of action throughout the season. And the cliffhanger, I think because the cliffhanger, how it ended, I think we should get a Season 3.
Yeah.
Because with Walter Flynn out of the way, I think Miguel should be the new villain.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I think they wanted to end it with a cliffhanger just in case they were coming back for another season, but I just feel like it's unlike the Power shows to not announce that they're renewed around the time that the show is on.
Right. So when Jannara took that picture of Tommy and Miguel's sister, right? They didn't show us him showing that picture to Miguel, but that's how Miguel found out, right? It was through Jannara?
I don't know if it was through Jannara.
So wasn't this like a situation where Tommy and Moreira was supposed to like leave town or something like that? And then that's when he called.
They were supposed to go to Barcelona, Spain.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've discussed things like this a lot in the Power series, but nobody gets a happy ending. But what I don't understand is why couldn't Moreira at least call him? Like, there should have been some type of communication between Moreira and Tommy, but I guess we got to wait. I guess we got to wait it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of a blur to me now. I mean, I know it kind of recently ended, but were Jannara and Tommy on bad terms? I think before he took the picture, they were on bad terms, but then they clicked up, right?
I think so.
Okay.
Or they at least clicked up for the for the sole purpose of being on the same page.
Right. What do you think about the little kid dying? Diamonds.
Oh, it's awful. I saw it coming though.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad. I feel like Diamond could have intervened a little bit. You know what I mean? Like he was just standing there watching. I mean, you got two kids arguing with one kid, and yes, you were teaching the guy how to box and you probably wanted him to at least defend himself, but you're in Chicago, man. I don't know if Diamond should have let that rock like that.
No.
Yeah, that's true. I think it happened so fast. Like, I think he was kind of frozen in the sense like oh shit, he's really like holding his own, and it just happened so fast,
right?
You know, that kind of thing. But that was awful.
Yeah,
that was really. And I knew, you know, there's always like that little foreshadowing, like the little conversation they had before, and him like putting on his you know, his get up, his little suit and whatever.
So I was so like happy to have his speech. Yeah, and I was the like news.
I said that boy gonna die.
Yo, you know,
it always ends up that way.
It does 1,000% of the time. You know who I kind of wanted to die, but then became like an MVP? D-Mac.
D-Mac is a Tariq.
Yes, exactly. He is 1,000% Tariq. Like, yo, he killed dude in broad daylight.
Yeah. He want to be a thug so bad. Like, he want to be in the streets so bad.
But he's so smart. Why would he waste that shit? Why would he waste his time doing that?
I mean, just like I guess Tariq. That's the only way he know how to use it. Well, yeah, and like Tariq too. Like, it's just, I feel it's just something that's like ingrained in him.
Yeah.
And growing up in that environment, I guess, you know, he's always been on the streets, kinda. So I don't know. He just keeps gravitating towards that life, and the more Tommy and them try to like keep him away,
the more
he becomes enticed by it. Yeah. Oh. He was getting on my nerves.
Yeah, but another person I'm happy that was killed, and D-Mac actually killed him, was that cop that was extorting Diamond.
Seamus.
Yeah, that guy was that getting cop on my goddamn nerves.
Yeah, I'm surprised the cop made it that long, honestly. But I did not see D-Mac doing it.
Yeah.
Like, that surprised me.
You know what's funny about that is, like, sometimes, because I listen to other reviews of shows, and it seems like we're all on the same accord when it comes to what characters we like and don't like, right? So for, like, two or three episodes, we didn't see D-Mac when they sent them away to boarding school. And then that seemed to be, like, when the show picked up, when they removed, like, kind of, like, the smaller, I would say, like, smaller characters that really weren't pushing the storyline along. They removed D-Mac for a moment, and there was another storyline that wasn't too important, and they moved it, right? And right around that time is when the season picked up, and then when D-Mac comes back, it's like, you have to do something, right? So then he started turning shit up, you know what I mean? He started acting wild and crazy. Like, he wilded out. He, first of all, he called his grandmother a bitch, right? Mm-hmm. And did he not call his father a faggot? Or am I imagining this?
He did.
Okay. Your grandmother's a bitch. Your dad is a fag. Like, you are crazy, dude. What is wrong with you?
Yeah. At that point, it's never been that disrespectful.
Never. So his father should have smacked him.
Yeah. Like, we've never seen him go that far. To me, he's like inherently a good kid.
Yes.
And I feel like he had been respectful up until that point. I don't know what that point was about.
Yes.
That was, to me, was kind of out of his character.
Right.
So he's for the streets. He still has always had some baseline level of respect, you know.
Yeah,
well, I guess him and his dad had like kind of like that rocky relationship at first.
Yeah, that falling out.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what that was about.
That needs to be explored more in season three.
Mm-hmm. But overall, I enjoyed it.
Did you guys think Kate was dead? I thought Kate was dead when she OD'd.
Oh, I thought so too. I was like, you know what? They're gonna drive her to, you know, pick up the habit again, and she's gonna die, and they're gonna feel guilty. But I'm glad she's not dead. But I did think that for a second.
She would have been another one of those long-lasting characters. How many do we have left? Kate from the original Power, right? It's Kate. It's Tommy, Tasha, Tariq. Who else?
That's about it.
Yeah, because...
Well...
Wait. Councilman Tate.
No. OG Power, like day one.
Yeah, Tate. That's about it, really. Because Sax, they offed him.
Yeah, Sax, man.
And, that's about it. That's about it.
Did you see this clip going around Instagram with Omari Hardwick saying Power asked him to come back?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
And he was saying, like, in order for me to come back, you got to give me this. And then they were like, no. And he was like, okay, then I'm not coming back. You mean that clip?
Yes, absolutely, that one.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I believe him. I believe that he knows his worth. And he knows that he really took that show to a level where they can have all these different spinoffs and stuff. And absolutely, making all this money. And they're not willing to pay him, you know, what he feels like he's worth. So I think until they cut that check, then he won't be back unless he falls on hard times and needs the money.
But yeah, I wouldn't want to see that. I wouldn't want to see Omari Hardwick on hard times as Ghost. You know what I mean?
No. Well, no, me neither. But I'm just saying, like, he may reconsider taking the role back.
Right. But that's, I don't want to see them. I understand 100% what you're saying, Kim. I don't want to see him... I don't want to see him accept the same role he would have turned down. It would look very cheap. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think he more so wanted like director's credit or something.
And he should have been.
Yeah. And I guess they're just not budging on that part of it.
Yeah.
I would love to see that for him.
I would, you know, it would be pretty epic if Ghost came back. I mean, a part of me wants to see what that looks like. And then another part of me is kind of like, maybe it should stay the way it is. But if he came back and it was done right, it'd be pretty epic.
I mean, like, from a canonical standpoint with the series, like, how would you bring Ghost back? I mean, we saw him get shot by Tariq and die.
I'm not even too worried about the shooting part, because it's a gunshot. He's been shot before. Yes, it was in his chest. What I'm more concerned with what they would do is, how would they get around the fact that he fell from the balcony and hit his head?
I don't know. I feel like stranger things have happened, though. I mean, they've literally brought people back from the dead. I always felt like Ghost maybe wasn't dead. I don't. Did we see him die? Like, for real, for real? Did we see him die?
We didn't see him die, and we did not see him in a casket. It was a closed casket.
Right. So, no, that's always the leaving the door open
kind of. Correct. And then there was this YouTube thing that somebody put in there. Remember, Tariq, the gun he shot Ghost with was the gun that he hid in Club Truth, right? So yep. this guy that made this amazing video, I forgot his name, but he put together that Ghost knew Tariq was going to come shoot him. So, like, mm-hmm. he replaced that gun with, like, another gun, and it had, like, a blank in it. And then remember the whole ambulance situation? And that guy, the guy that was driving that car, was the same guy who was the security in the building where he killed Jason Mitchich. They're like, there was a lot of things to make it so that, you know, it was there was a lot of things surrounding that made it look like Ghost completely set everything up.
That, you know what? That would be a very Ghost thing to do.
Right. Right.
Because Ghost is always kind of like
two steps ahead. You remember? Yeah. Do you remember what he said to Tariq when he pulled the gun on him?
What did he say?
Keep thinking you're fucking smarter than me. Don't ever make that mistake again, son.
Wait, so then they're saying that the way Ghost knew that he put the gun there, the security knew that and tipped Ghost off?
No. So in Club Truth, where Tariq hid the gun, Ghost knew he hid that there, right? So he went and replaced that gun that Tariq put with, like, a gun that had blanks in it. Or he removed, like, the actual clip and put blanks in that gun, right? And then as far as the security, remember the building where the guy was like, hey, listen, make sure the cameras are off, or don't send me through the metal detector when I come in with Jason Mitchich or whatever.
Yeah.
Remember that black guy? And then he said, when Dre comes in, that's when you call the cops. Like, that was a friend of Ghost, and he was the driver of the ambulance when Ghost was being taken away.
Wait, so who originally hid the gun in Truth? Tariq did, right?
Correct.
But Ghost didn't do it for him, so...
No. Ghost knew that that's where Tariq would stash his shit when he came into
it. Oh, so he, like, predicted he would hide it there.
Yes, and then he went there, saw it there. Oh, this is the gun my son is going to shoot me with. Well, I'm going to take out this clip and put in this clip.
Okay, got you. Because I was trying to figure out, I was like, how would he know Tariq put it there? But I guess he knows his son, so...
Right.
That would be wild. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things they could do with that. If they really wanted to bring him back, they could do it. Especially if they had, like, if they had the showrunners and stuff from Ghost.
Yes.
Like, it really could be a movie. Like, it really could be epic. Yeah. But they would have to bring it. Like, they would have to. And I think a part of that, too, or maybe the resistance, is, like, how do you top the original power? You know what I mean? Like, how do you top that?
You got to bring Omari back.
But you got to do it right.
Right.
Because if you don't surpass the expectations for the original power, everybody's going to be let down. And it honestly could tarnish the whole brand.
I just know this. I know that, let's say, I mean, for the most part, they're good about keeping secrets, right? There was that one time where shit got leaked. But let's just say we all suspect that Ghost is dead, right? And then I don't know, next season, episode 4, Ghost just pops up. Do you know what's gonna happen? Like Twitter is gonna go fucking crazy. Every Power fan in the world is gonna go crazy. There are people that stop watching Power. There were people that stopped watching Power after Ghost died. They said, yo, this is stupid. I'm never watching again. If he comes back, all those fans are gonna come back and the views are gonna go up.
And, you know, they have been planting those Easter eggs in Ghost
right.
in this past season or two with Tariq going to the grave. He ain't been to that grave in a minute and showing us that it was, you know, his grave
right.
with the name. And then the funny camera work we were talking about. When
right, right, right. The angle when he was talking to Sax.
Yeah, like they've been kind of, I feel like, planting those seeds.
I don't know they if those know. Seeds have I think that behind the scenes somewhere, they want Ghost to come back, and they're probably still negotiating. So while the negotiation is going on, like you said, Kim, they're planting the Easter eggs to where it's like, this is when we'll have a flashback of Ghost being here. He was yeah. watching this at this moment. You know what I mean? And then as soon as they yep. agree to it, they plug that in, boom, everything's right where they need it to be. Too. Yeah.
I think they're setting it up just in case it happens. But if it doesn't happen, it's not a huge letdown because right. it's not so in your face.
Correct.
Like, we're like dissecting it. So we're like, oh, you see the camera angle. Right. Somebody was watching. Like, I feel like the average viewer isn't really going to make that connection. But they're doing it in a subtle way to where if it happens, it's great. If it right. doesn't, there's no loss. You know what I mean? To the storyline.
Right, right.
But that shit would be crazy. That's on some like, and I hate that y'all don't watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I watched some episodes of Game of Thrones.
Okay, so this is like a Jon Snow moment.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
And Jon Snow was dead.
Can I ask you a question? Dead. How long was Jon Snow dead?
For the break between that the end of that last season and the beginning of the next season.
So there was like a world that existed like without him, and then he returned to the world.
Nope. He came back maybe the second or third episode of the next season.
Okay. Because
and everybody was waiting on it. Everybody was like, y'all bullshitting. Y'all done showed up two episodes and he not back yet. When is he coming back alive? Like everybody was hell bent on the fact that he wasn't dead. And he was dead. When I say dead, he lay there mm-hmm. and was dead.
So but you this think that
is a different world. So he was brought back to life on some witchery, you know, shit.
Dire wolf stuff.
Yeah.
So do you think that season when he came back, that was already written, or do you think like the outcry of like the fans made the writers bring him back?
I feel like it was already written. What do you think, Daron?
I think the same thing.
I think it was kind of already written.
Because you said, what did you say, like episode 3 or something?
Yeah. Episode 3.
All right.
Yeah, they had his body, like, they literally had his body, like, on a table mm-hmm. for, like, 2 episodes. So we saw that he was dead. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, who's bringing him back alive? Come on.
Oh, okay.
Episode 3. But, you know, that's just a different world. That's a more fantasy kind of right. thing. So they bring people back to life. The whole ghost thing is different.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, if he does come back, like, what is he, like, what would his role be? I mean, I don't want him to be dead. I wish he wasn't, but, like, how can he exist? It's kind of like, I guess, is it going to be like Tommy, where he faked his death in New York, and then he can just go to Chicago, and nobody just, like, they only mentioned the fact that he's supposed to be dead once, you know what I mean? And they were like, yeah, you faked your death in New York, but we don't care about that. We want to bring you down for other things. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he would be if he returned. I don't know if he would try to be a drug dealer kingpin again. I don't know. But then that would be problematic between him and Tariq. That would be a thing.
Probably be more like something subtle, something mysterious, something that Ghost would do, like play mind games with Tariq, like sending these subliminal messages, like, you thought I was dead, like using a burner phone to text Tariq's number.
Mm-hmm. But then when we find out he's alive and he's back, what is he doing? Like, what's his role? That's like, what I don't know.
Like, voyeuristic. Like, watching Tariq from the shadow somewhat.
But he has to do something. He can't just stalk Tariq.
What if on that aspect, what if he's like a mastermind? He's somehow masterminding things on the opposing side. You don't know it's him, but mm-hmm. he's sending these Easter eggs and these subliminals, like you said, Daron. And somehow we find out it's him pulling the strings against Tariq. I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works, but it's, I don't know. I don't know. Like, he's the ultimate villain, but we don't know he's the villain.
Right. Like, he could be.
We don't see him.
What's the new lady who was, like, so-called married to the guy they killed in his mansion?
The one that chopped off that man head.
Yeah, no, yeah, she, her.
Her whole purpose in the whole damn show was kind of like not even necessary.
Yes.
I forgot her name.
Or whatever. Whatever. Like her role was. It was like she was there even when we didn't know she was there, type of thing. Like,
yeah.
I guess you know, ghosts can be something like that. Like everything that's been happening, he's somehow been connected to it.
Was it Noma?
Yes. That's it. That's
her Noma. Name. Noma.
Yeah. So.
Yep. So I'm looking forward for whatever they do with book two. If they bring Omari back, cool. If not, it has improved for me. I do enjoy watching it, but. Let's talk about what we are here for. Raising Kanan, Season 3, Episode 1, Home Sweet Home.
So good.
What do you think of the episode, Kim? Just did it meet your expectations?
It did. It did. You know, they just do really well with just kind of picking up where they left off, right. I think. So even though I haven't seen the previous season and however long it's been, it was really easy for me to remember what happened at the end of it, mm-hmm. which is great because I thought like, oh, I might need a refresher, but I really didn't. But I thought it was good. I thought it was well-paced. I thought it tied up some things, mm-hmm. some, you know, from the last season, and it also presented new things. So yes. I think it set the tone for a promising season.
Yeah. I like that they definitely like the flashback. I guess it's always longer when they have to catch us up on what happened. So this one was kind of long. So like you said, we didn't need a refresher. The flashback really brought us up to date. What I didn't know was how bad was Marvin's gunshot wound. I guess it wasn't that bad. It looked like he put himself back together with tape.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that bad either.
Yeah.
Should be thanking Emo for saving him.
Right. And what was up with Rock? Rock, what? Her arm is broke? Is that what it is? That's it?
I think, did she, yeah, I don't, is it that or she got shot?
I mean, she got shot in the arm. She got shot in the arm, so her arm is in a sling. They should be considered themselves lucky. I mean, Lou didn't get shot at all. Marvin had one and it went through and through, and Rock got shot in her arm. And they took out a lot of those Italians.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I just knew somebody was going to die. Honestly, someone probably should have died, but you know how it is.
Right. Now they can't kill I would call them the big three. They can't kill the big three just yet.
No, not just yet.
Unfortunately, somebody we just met in this episode, I think, is going to die. His name is Ronnie, Unique's brother.
Why do you think that?
He looks like he just wants to get right back into the streets, like immediately. He looked like he want to get in the mix. He's already telling Unique, yo, you're working you went back to entry level. I left you to be a boss. Like, you got to get back into the streets. He looks like he's going to be the devil on Unique's shoulder. And obviously we see the relationship Unique has with Rock, and who knows? Man, this is a stretch, but I wouldn't be surprised if Unique got to take out his own brother, because he's already telling him, yo, you're entry level for Rock. You gotta be a boss. And Unique and Rock squashed their beef. So I don't think that Unique is going to be willing to go with whatever it is Ronnie is trying to get him to do.
That makes sense. Because he definitely was like asexual, just putting stuff in his head.
Yes.
But then he's also like, he's been locked away. So like Neek said, it's not the same. The block ain't the same. Can't just be on the streets like that anymore. Things are hot.
Right.
And he's got to either adapt, but if he doesn't adapt, then yeah, maybe he will die.
Yeah, I don't see Ronnie adapting.
Yeah, he's like on go. Like he came out on go. Like, I'm ready to fuck some shit up. I think he's going to be a problem. I definitely do. He seems a little cutthroat. Yes, a bit unhinged, like hella unhinged and cutthroat. And I definitely think he's going to, you know, be a problem in this season. But, you know, listening to what you say, Eric, yeah, I can kind of see him not making it out of the season.
Right. And then Unique's girl, her name is Prinessa, right?
Or I think
P,
so.
He called her P, right? She doesn't want him around. He just came home, so he probably doesn't have too much money. So if Pranessa doesn't want him around, right, and he doesn't have any money, how's he going to get money, and where is he going to live? He's going to have to get into some type of bullshit, you know what I mean, that's going to make him hot, you know what I mean? Like, he's not going to – somebody's going to get this guy out of here. He can't – I don't think he'll be around for by the end of the season.
Yeah, and, you know, they made it very clear that Pranessa, like, didn't feel comfortable with him there.
Right.
And wouldn't be surprised if he tried something with her.
Oh, yeah, come on now. If he tries something with her, Unique is going to have to take him out.
I wouldn't be surprised if he crossed the line.
And he has been locked up for a long time, so
yeah.
If and I was Pranessa out, yeah.
The baby mama, like, that's not even a good look. Like, right. Unique should put him up somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah, probably, like, the apartment – Famous getting evicted from.
Right. So you brought up the relationship with Neek and Rock.
Mm-hmm.
A part of me is not buying it.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't. One, how does he know where she lives, right?
Exactly. That's what I was like. How did he have her address? Number one. I'm not buying it. They're both so strategic. It's hard for me to believe that this connection would be genuine. Somebody is playing some angle, if not both.
I think Rock is playing Unique. I always felt like Unique liked Raquel more than she liked him. And whenever they were around each other, he's always flirting with her. And she's always like, no, get out of here. This is business. And we're not even like, but prior to him saving her life, they weren't like the best of friends. They were two people who both wanted to be the top dog. And there was some type of respect there. But at the same time, don't forget that Rock went and told Howard things that she pretty much ratted on Unique and his crew to get them out of the way. Right. And then she did the whole thing with the jacket, and she gave the jacket And she gave that jacket to Kanan, or something happened with the jacket where they had to go and grab the jacket, and they saw that the jacket that Unique wears was involved in a crime, and that's how he got locked up. The brother.
I know Lou planted the jacket back. I think she gave it to Kanan, right?
Right. I think if I'm not mistaken, she gave it to Kanan to shoot Howard, and it had all the gun residue on it, and it was either Lou or Marvin that went back into Unique's room to put the jacket in there, and then that's when Howard and the cops came in and saw the jacket and they arrested him. So Rock has always been strategic. I think that Unique, you know, truly has feelings for her, and if he can control it, he would want to be with her, no strings attached. Like, he just genuinely has love for her. I don't know if Rock does.
I think Rock is going to manipulate Unique. She knows that he loves her. And she can use him as a pawn.
I could see that happening. I could definitely see that happening. Just based on her relationships with everyone else, and even the ones close to her and the ones that she does love, she still always has a strategy, and she still always seems to be able to separate business, you know, from emotions.
Right.
Like, she'll make a move and she'll do something that she knows will, like, tear somebody she loves up, but she'll do it anyway because she's standing on business.
Yeah, absolutely. I forgot Stefano, right? Tony Danza's character. He's the one that gave Sally the go to go and kill Rock. I thought Stefano and Raquel were like friends.
I thought that too. I thought he definitely, like, when they first introduced him, I thought that they kind of had a friendship or understanding.
Yes.
I don't know if that was just kind of another strategy to make her vulnerable to the attack. Yes. Maybe.
Because in the preview, I remember he said to Sally, the Tootsie Roll in New York. And I kind of forgot that happened. I didn't think that he gave the go-ahead, because I remember when Raquel came to him, I believe he told her he would tell Sally and his men to, like, stand down, and Sally's not going to make a move without his approval, or something similar to that. So now I guess they're both, I mean, Sally was already a rival and a villain, but it's Stefano now arrival on a villain. Like, do you think Rock knows that he sent Sally or?
No, I don't think so.
But Rock be knowing. She might know. I don't know. That to me needs to play out a little more because I'm still a little blurry on that.
I don't know if Rock has enough people. I mean, these are the Italians. They lost a lot of people, but at this moment, Rock has who? Marvin.
She damn near ain't got nobody.
She got is Marvin, and Marvin just found out about Howard being Kanan's father. How long can somebody keep that? That's what I want to know. I wanted to ask you that, Kim. Can you keep a secret for that long? Kanan is how old? Can you keep a secret like that from your brother, who your son's father is?
That's one hell of a secret for her to keep. And I'm surprised that she kept it for that long.
Right.
Because that's been like, that was like a secret in the back, like the back of the closet, locked up in a safe.
Right.
So, yeah, it's amazing that that even like leaked.
Yes.
But I understand why it had to be a secret, though. Well, it had to be a secret because Rock is a snitch. Right, so she built her whole empire from snitching on DEF CON, apparently, which I'm sure hopefully we'll learn more about.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to keep that a secret or she'd be dead. Right.
But like Marvin said, I'm your brother. Like you could tell me.
Right. I guess she couldn't even tell them though. Like, I mean, because if she did, they would look at her differently. Like they're looking at her differently now. Like now they're seeing like the moves she's making and things she's done. Mm-hmm. And I know Lou already looking at her crazy, and mm-hmm. Kanan is looking at her crazy. It won't be long before Marvin does too, especially since he just found out about the scrap thing. Yeah. I think he's more so in denial than anything, but mm-hmm. I think by the end of the season, he's gonna see what Lou and Kanan are seeing about Rock.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah. He's seeing a little bit now. So,
but yeah, she was a snitch, and that's how she became Queenpin, which is very interesting.
Yeah, Rock does a lot of Rock does a she. That's one thing I don't like about Raquel. She does a lot of snitching. I mean, she snitched on but it not even snitched because she lied. She masterminded Unique going to jail for the shooting, going to prison for the shooting of Howard with the whole jacket, and then getting Morvin to put the jacket back in his hotel room. She's just the way she takes people out. Like, I understand Rock wants to be like the queen and all that, but just the way she sees things, I don't agree with. I mean, when she took out Kanan's best friend, right? And she had Lou kill him.
Wait, what was his name? Not D-Mac, D-Mac's from 40.
D-Rock?
D-something.
Well, I think it was D-Rock.
Whatever that kid's name is. I guess it was because he was making the music about killing somebody. Was that the reason Rock took him out?
No, that was...
Famous made that song.
Famous
made that song. I'm tripping.
So what was the reason for taking Homeboy out? It was because Unique said the streets need a body. Unique said the streets need a body. Kanan really killed the dude. Right.
Oh, but didn't he see? He saw something.
About 20. There we go.
But he saw. Not that though. He saw. Didn't he see like Lou? He saw somebody. He saw something he wasn't supposed to see.
Now I think what happened is, remember they killed Buck 20, right? But Kanan was the one that killed him. And uh-huh. Rock is not gonna tell on her son Kanan. So she said that we'll handle it. And she had Lou take out his friend to protect Kanan, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, why she didn't take out Famous then? He the one was rapping about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Rock
something
is...
else happened with that. There was something else. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was just that. I feel like he saw something. I can't remember what it was. Now I got to go back and watch. He saw somebody get in the car with somebody. Something. I don't know. I'm gonna circle back to that at some point.
All right. Well, pretty much Rock is, I don't know, Rock, she's very untrustworthy. I mean, and she she doesn't put too much thought behind things at times. I mean, it's like she thinks too much about it, but doesn't see like she doesn't see like what's directly in front of her. Like she acts on emotion a lot. Like she took out the guy who had the gambling problem, who she said was a rat, and he really wasn't. You know what I mean? Turns out his mother was a rat.
Right.
I don't know. I could see why Kanan doesn't like his mother.
Yeah, he's definitely reaching that. I think he's reaching that point of no return. Like, he seems really, 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 like, disgusted.
Yeah, absolutely. Her. Absolutely.
And I don't know if they can, if that's something that could be mended at this point.
Yeah. And I mean, at one point, I thought that there was nothing that could be done to mend Marvin's relationship with Jukebox. And it looks like, you know, they're back in each other's good graces, and there's no beef whatsoever. He's very supportive of her now. Just, you know, that's good for her. And it doesn't look like she wants to be in the streets at all. Remember her thing, she used to steal shit. And I don't know if she ever did the drugs thing. She was more of a finesser, right? Jukebox was stealing shit.
Mm-hmm.
But she went to her guidance counselor, and she's trying to get a job now.
And she cracked open that Bible. You peeped it?
She did. She did.
Towards the end?
She did.
She, like, sat with it. And I was like, okay, so she's finna get on her, like, straight and narrow.
I wanted to pause it to see what verses were highlighted, because it looked as though her mother, that box was, like, for her, which is kind of weird. Why would you have a box for your daughter? When did you plan on giving it to her? Like, did you think something was going to happen to you? Is this like in case I die, give this to my daughter type of thing? Like,
right.
why was that box just waiting for Jukebox from her mother? But you know, the mother didn't approve of her being gay.
Right.
I wondered if those verses that she had highlighted in the Bible had any connection to that.
But and she opened the Bible twice. She opened it when she first was looking through the box, and then somewhere towards like the end of the episode, she like sat down at the edge of her bed and opened it again. And it was like she was about to read it at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's some sort of forecasting about, you know, who Juke is about to become or unbecome or whatever.
I think we'll definitely see her head towards law enforcement. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially after she finds out, which we'll get to later, about her friend.
I just Googled it real quick. So it was D-Wiz. He had to go, like, as retribution for, you know, to repay for Buck 20's death.
Yes.
That's the only way Rock's crew and Neek's crew could have peace. She had to take somebody out.
Right. Yeah, he said the streets needed a body.
Yep. That was that. But it's D-Wiz. I knew it was D-something.
Yeah. So Rock blamed the entire thing on Cron Camacho. I don't know if the cops are buying that.
I have questions about that.
You got what were your questions?
Didn't they find Crown's body, like, before this stuff happened?
Yeah, they found him in the water somewhere, right? Like, they threw him in the river or some shit, and they found him. But I think that Rock's thing was not that Crown sent him, but it was people that Crown had beef with, and they were coming to, like, which is kind of doesn't make sense. You're right about it. Maybe those, I don't know. You're right. Now I'm confused.
Well, the way you say it could make sense too, because maybe it's the fallout from whatever beef Crown had, and they didn't know he was dead.
Right.
So they came back and, like, shot up the studio.
And whoever's in there is going to get it type shit.
Yeah. I was thinking in terms of, oh, well, like, Crown orchestrated it, but they found his body. You know, I don't know what the time frame is there, but they did find his body, and I don't know if it's going to play into, like, oh, by the level of decomposition, this man was killed at this time, so it couldn't have been him orchestrating whatever. I'm probably thinking too deep into it, but that makes sense what you said too.
Yeah, but here's the thing that Rock didn't account for: why would they come to her house? Like, they shooting up the studio is one thing; that's where you can expect to find Cron Camacho. But these people were also at your house, and that's where you got shot at, Raquel. So explain that.
Yeah, and I think they think that's sketchy anyway, because they keep asking her to repeat the story.
Right.
That part doesn't make sense. I think it's interesting how, you know, Rock and Detective Howard are now, you know, trying to be on the same team, I guess, in regards to Kanan as his parents.
Yes.
That's pretty interesting to see.
Yes. I think this is helping out Detective Howard because from the conversation they were having, remember he said, we have to pretty much convince Kanan to be cool with, to not make a big deal of this and to not let law enforcement know about their inner beef. You know what I mean? So we all got to appear to be on the same page. Once again, it's Rock doing the manipulation thing. I always feel like, I don't know if Rock likes anybody. You know what I mean?
That's very true.
Like, Howard is trying to get back close to her. She doesn't even want him to touch her. We don't know what the true relationship is, although I think she likes Unique more than she likes Howard. The painter, rich dude that her and Lou killed last year, she was manipulating him the entire time.
Cartier Fareed.
Yeah. She was manipulating him the whole time. Rock is, she's like a stone. She's like an emotionless person
she's a psychopath.
Yeah. She just
psychopath too.
yeah.
So it's getting harder to tell like who Rock loves. Like, who does she really care for? I do think she loves her son, but a part of me thinks like if she needs to make a decision, you know, another business decision to save the empire, whatever the case may be. It's like, you just don't know. You just don't know with her.
What about that teacher that said, I got to get the fuck out of here? Remember him?
Yeah, Symphony.
Yeah, him.
Oh, Symphony, yeah.
She liked him.
She did like him. No, she legit liked him because she was talking about having kids and getting married. And I think that's the biggest reason why she bought that house, because she thought that they were going to live in it together and like live happily after, you know, happily after.
Yeah.
So I think she did really love him.
But I think Symphony wised up.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because he saw the way Rock was moving and everything like that.
The best thing he ever could have done was leave town and leave her alone, because at some point he would become collateral for something.
Mm-hmm.
You think we'll see him again?
I think he can pop up. If you know, if in power, if you don't die, then you know you're on the table. You can come back, even if he just comes back for an episode or two. He's not dead, and they gave him a legit reason to leave. So you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he came back to check on Rock or check on Kanan.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if anything else stood out to me.
Oh, Rock lying, because I believe that was a lie. The mother didn't get the chance to say all of that dumb shit that Rock said that she said to her about Jukebox. Rock was just lying to make Jukebox feel good. What else are we missing? Oh, Lou. Is Lou going to be an alcoholic now?
God, Lou is... I don't know.
He's sitting that way.
I think he might become an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. He might turn to drugs. I don't know. He's looking real bad right now, just in the sense that everything is fucking with him. It's really Rock. What Rock said to him and has done is really fucking with him.
Right. And his girl was killed in the season finale too. So, and I don't even know if he mentioned that at all. I mean, he was more drinking because of Rock, and it's been such a long time since the last season. What's the guy's name that they killed, that Rock killed, that, because she said he was a snitch?
Scrappy.
Yeah, it's been such a long time.
That really fucked him up.
Yeah. I feel like
that was the straw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's drinking because of that. He's drinking because, you know, Rock's lying to him. He wants out the game. Not to mention his girl died. He was shot at. He wasn't shot, but, you know, he was attacked already. But I just hope that this is, it's kind of, sometimes power repeats itself a lot, where it's like somebody turns to drinking and you never saw that prior to the time they start drinking. Like, the mother or Tariq's grandmother, Tasha's mother, she turned into an alcoholic and she was like semi-abusive towards the little sister and everything. Mm-hmm. So,
like, we never saw that. They just kind
of right. We never saw that. Another
I
thing,
think he's having a bad time. I think he's just having a bad time dealing with it all. Right. And I really do think that big argument that he and Rock got into at the house, the new house, that really sealed the deal for him, because she said some really shitty things to him. How she owns him, how he ain't shit.
Right.
He do nothing without her. Like, I think that really, really cut him deep.
Yeah, if that was bad, that shit she said to him. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if we had a moment there where, similar to Force, you got family taking out family. Like, at that moment, Lou was so angry, I wouldn't have been surprised if he put Rock down right there in that house.
Right. Mm. And the way things are playing out, like, I know I've always said Kanan gonna be one to kill her, but it might not be Kanan, but it's gonna be a family member, or it's gonna be somebody close, I think.
Damn, what if it's Ronnie?
Ooh. And I don't think. Why would they give him that?
No.
So that's like the Method Man's brother taking out
Sax.
Like, right. They better not do that shit again. Right. If somebody takes Rock out, it better be a day one, A1, like
Kanan or Marvin or Lou.
Yeah.
But I still think it's gonna be Kanan that kills his mom. So think about it. There's always a recurring theme in power. It's always the kids that kill off their parents.
That's true. And he's disgusted. He's so disgusted. Like, this kid is really playing this role. Like, his whole face, he don't even have to say nothing.
Right,
like,
right,
you
look
at his face and you feel the disgust coming from him in regards to his mom. He is fucking disgusted by her.
But Kai Curtis, you know, the one who plays young Kanan, he's phenomenal.
Oh, he's great. Like, he embodies so much.
I think he's doing a great job at his impersonation of 50 Cent, though.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like, it's the voice.
And the face.
That is just, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing a very, very good job there. But everything about him says, I'm disgusted. Like, hate you. And it doesn't even feel like it's one of those, oh, he's just a rebellious teen.
Nah.
That ain't it.
He'd rather live in squalor with fame than be with his mom in that new, nice, beautiful home. But another thing about this, didn't Rock said she's done, right? Didn't she say she's out the game?
She said that.
What is she gonna do? What skills does she have?
I was like, what profession is she gonna take up?
Right, you just bought this home in this neighborhood that the woman that sold it to you didn't even wanna sell it to you.
Right, unless she, now, I don't know, she's Queenpin, so, She's sitting on millions and millions. She might be set.
Is she sitting on millions?
Like, mm-hmm. I mean, the way they was moving weight in the project.
But I think she spent a significant amount of that money to get that house.
Couldn't have been that much. You know how much money those, like, back in the day in the '80s and nineties, they were pulling in like $1 million a day. Mm. They were making. Bang. And I'm just talking about like documentaries and shit.
Right. Like BMF.
If it's on that level, I feel like she's got a stash. I mean, Rock is smart. You don't think she got a stash?
I don't know. But besides that, how many episodes is it before Rock gets back to moving drugs and being Queenpin? She's not stopping.
Oh, about two episodes should be back. Because you can't get out the game like that.
Right.
There is no getting out. Even when she mentioned it to Marvin was kind of looking at her like, I know you lying.
Right.
I mean, because they eating off her.
Right.
She's got a whole team who's eating off of her. So if she's done, how they going to make their money?
And what's Kanan going to do? Because him and Fame is about to get evicted. And the homie that they went to said, I don't want y'all selling my shit. And also, Kanan does not know that Fame killed that guy that was pretty much bullying him, right?
Oh, the kid? The guy that, yeah. You know, I don't think so.
He doesn't know. He does not know. And then they asked, remember, there was the neighbor that heard it, and the neighbor didn't even say shit. The neighbor was like, nah, I ain't see nothing.
Right. Right.
I wonder if they're going to go back to that, because it's weird that fame is not like, fame said, yo, you know I can't do that shit. I can't sell no drugs. That's not me. Like, it's almost like he doesn't want to be involved in the streets as much as Kanan is, but, I don't know. And to a certain extent, I think Kanan might believe that fame is kind of soft, but he wasn't soft when he walked up on homeboy and killed him. So I don't know why he would be keeping that secret from Kanan.
I don't know. Maybe he don't want Kanan to know he a killer. Like, I mean, and I don't think he is a killer. If he told Kanan that, Kanan, you know, would maybe think he's capable of doing more of that. And I don't think he wants to do any more of that. I don't know what those two dumbasses going to do. They are dumb. They're just like dumb and dumber.
Right.
I mean, they'll figure it out, but they're just like two fuck ups right now.
Right.
Which is crazy for Kanan, because he pretty much grew up in shit. Like, the fact that he's not smarter on that aspect is, you know, I don't know. I guess he's young. He has to learn.
Does he think he's going to keep stealing money? Does he think he's going to keep stealing money from his mother? Because remember, he stole money the first time from the stash house, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So
he can get away with that.
Right. And he doesn't want to. You said he can't, or he can get away with it?
He can't. Right. Didn't Marvin call him?
Yeah. Or somebody. I think Lou saw him taking it, and he was like, you know, don't worry about this. This is my money too. Or some dumb shit he said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not sufficient. Like, you can't keep doing that play. So,
right.
But I wonder if they're going to introduce like Breeze or whatever. Like, I still don't remember Breeze. I don't remember that from
Power. Oh shit! Did we say? Aren't they? I think they are going to introduce him this season, aren't they?
Because you said he's like the mentor, right? Like the one that taught him.
Yeah.
The
game.
So I wonder if they're setting it up for that to be introduced, because somebody got to take him under their wing. Yo, he won't. Rock don't want him under her wing, and he hates her. So who's gonna teach him?
Did Ronnie teach Unique the game? Is Ronnie Breeze?
I don't know. You know, that's an interesting theory.
So, Kim, you just sent something to the chat. It's confirmed that Breeze will be in this season.
Yeah, it says the showrunner hints that they will be introduced. So, not like fully confirmed, but I guess they alluded to the fact that we'll be meeting, you know, Breeze.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, look, episode one, it was amazing. This next storyline was also amazing in a different way. Because of what happened in this, I guess, scene or episode period, I want to introduce a new segment and call it Dummy of the Week. Detective Burke is the Dummy of the Week.
Yes.
He's the dummy of the series.
Yes. Like, you died for nothing.
For nothing. For nothing. Like, she just kept at it. Everybody tried to tell her to get off of it. Like, your job is in jeopardy. Your life is in jeopardy. Now there's an investigation on you, and now you're looking this way. And she just would not let it go. But I find it very interesting that she agreed to meet Detective Howard the way she did.
Yes. First of all, I got a question. What would have been her reward if she exposed Howard? What do cops that snitch on other cops get rewarded? You would have been done. What would she have been transferred to internal affairs? She wouldn't have been a detective anymore. And that seemed like that was a passion of hers, right? And to a certain extent, is internal affairs also detectives, but detectives for detectives that are detecting what the police are actually doing? Like, what did you want out of this?
Right. It's a good question. I just think she just wanted, I don't know, she just got a kick out of like exposing him. Like, he's a dirty cop. He's like in bed with the, like quite literally with the drug, the queen pin. And I don't know. It's just like one of those things where a character just they become obsessed with a thing.
Right. It was kind of like Sax in a way, when Sax was obsessed with bringing down Ghost, and not even Sax, Greg, when Greg became obsessed with bringing down Ghost, and he just he knew he had something, and he was like, I think that James St. Patrick is Ghost, and him and Tommy were the ones that killed Lobos. And because I was watching it back, and I remember like every time they got closer and closer, Greg and Angela would just exchange a look, and Greg was like, see, I told you. One of the episodes, somebody had given them some information, and they said when Lobos was killed, he was taken to like an empty field, and there were two sets of footprints there from two different men or something like that, two different footprints that were not Lobos' footprints. And then like Greg just looked at Angela like, yeah, you know exactly who those two people were. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, she's that type of thirsty with trying to expose Howard, but why would you do that? Why?
I don't know. It's just that obsession. It was just something she just could not let go. And at the very beginning of the episode, when she burst into the hospital,
yes,
like the first thing she said was Detective Howard. Da, 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 yes. Da. Like as soon as that went down, I said, oh, she trying to check out early. Like yes. Early.
Exactly. I remember we had her on our, if I'm not mistaken, I think I had her as somebody who was either going to die or needed to die last season. And, you know, they're not playing no games. They got right to it. But like you said, Kim, why would she agree to meet him there? Like, you have beef with this guy. You are trying to expose him. He covered all of his tracks. Almost all of them. He called her from a payphone, right? And he even told the captain, I believe she can be good police if she stays out of her way. Like, I was shocked when he said that, because I'm like, this bitch is trying to expose her, and you still got good things to say about her? So that right. was him, you know, covering his tracks and making sure it doesn't get back to him. But for the life of me, I'm with you, Kim. Why did she agree to meet him? It's late at night. It probably was at least 9 or 10 o'clock at night, maybe later. Why did you agree to meet him on an empty, dimly lit block? Why not meet in a fucking diner or something like that? I don't know if you would have gotten your girlfriend involved, even if you guys were on good terms. It seems as though they broke up. She sold her. You either got to choose me or the job, and that relationship ended. But why not meet up with your father? I guess she didn't. Her relationship was also rocky with her father, because I remember she said to the captain, my mother's only issue is she married my father. So that let us know that her relationship wasn't good with the father. The only reason they had a working relationship was because they were both police, right? But yeah. I'm trying to think in her shoes, why would you go there by yourself? What did you think Howard was going to say?
Right.
She knew everything already.
She had the tape recorder and everything set up. I mean, I know this is not the end of this. Me personally, I feel like Howard was sloppy.
Very sloppy. Like, he was very sloppy.
Like the way he shot her, like he was just tired of hearing it. Yeah. And he
shot her point blank.
Point blank. I don't know if it was supposed to go down like that. I think that part was sloppy. And I don't think that it's going to be like, oh, well, she's dead, and then they're going to like move forward. I think it's right. going to be kind of a drawn out thing. I wonder if she told anybody that she was going to meet him or where they would be meeting or something like that. I mean, she seems like a smart lady. It seems like she would tell somebody like, look, I'm going to meet him by myself.
Yes.
If I don't come back, something happens.
Yes. Did you ever see the show, Kim, Your Honor? Did you ever see that show?
Yeah.
You remember how many deaths happened just to cover up one thing?
Yep.
That would have to be what's going to take place now, because what if she did tell her girlfriend? What if she did tell her father? What, you going to take out a retired cop now?
Right.
That was very sloppy, like you said, very sloppy on Howard's part. Also, Burke should not have had that conversation without having her gun out. You know what I mean? Because, listen, right. I'm going to tell, my gun is out. I'm not going to kill you, but I just don't trust you right now. We're not having this conversation somewhere in the open. You know, I'm a cop. You know, we got our firearms on you. You put your hands on the dashboard and I'm going to tell you everything I know. And if you want, we can drive to the station. You know, it's always like, it's like when Greg tried to bring in Mike Sandoval, right?
Remember
when,
when
he tried to bring in, when he tried to bring in Mike Sandoval, like, hey, you can come in. We can talk about this. Those two deaths were very similar. Like you just uncovered something that somebody would actually kill you for. You know, you're going to die for knowing this information. You should have done better at protecting yourself. You know what I mean? And the tape recorder is, it was in the early 90s. So I don't think it was like a two-sided thing, even though back in the day, they probably did have two-sided wires, right? Back in the 90s, they would have had to. But she was only recording that. So she obviously thought she would survive and be able to take the tape recorder back. But once she said, I know you were behind get Sam being killed, the homeless guy. Mm-hmm. Did you I watched that, just that scene multiple times. He started reaching as soon as she said, I know you killed Sam too. And she had her gun on her.
Like, I mean, you had something to do with it. And
right. Mm-hmm. She had her gun on her. She should have, come on, man. She literally died for nothing. She is an idiot.
You know what?
She is an idiot.
I think maybe she was very naive. I think that, you know, she knew what Howard was capable of up until that point, but I don't think she ever thought that he would kill her for it. That's the only thing I can come up with.
She had her gun. Remember, she cocked her gun before he got in the car with her.
Why she ain't have it on go?
That's what I'm saying. Silly. But he was kind of sloppy. I mean, you just wiped blood into your skin. You didn't wipe it off. Like, that blood is not coming off immediately like that, Howard. And he was wearing a leather coat. Like, the blood is all over that coat.
And did he pick up with the
were there houses on the block? Or was it just like an alleyway?
It didn't really look like an alleyway. It looked like leading up to a neighborhood. Like, I don't think they were in front of houses, but maybe they were like on some, I don't know, somewhere where it was a little more desolate. So I don't know if anybody could like hear the shots or anything like that. But I definitely think he was a little sloppy. The way he did it, I was like, fuck, Howard. Like, you let her get to you.
Right. Once she said Sam, the Sam thing, like put him over the top. Once she said, I know you were behind Sam, he was like, nah, fuck this. She knows way too much.
She knew everything. She was calling his card. She was reading him.
She put everything together.
Every fucking thing.
Everything. She put everything together. She was like, Rock was your snitch. She sent DEFCON to jail. You got her pregnant. That's the least of your worries, even though she was too young. Like, why would you say this to him? Like, this is my thing when people do shit like this. You're one-on-one. You're by yourself. You don't have the upper hand. I mean, yes, you had your gun on you, but you clearly didn't have the upper hand. Why would you look him in his eyes and tell him everything you 1,000% know he did? How did you think the conversation was going to end?
Right. They always do that. They always start talking about everything they know.
Right. Exactly.
Like, bro, stop talking. Just stop talking. Like, get yourself to a station or get to someone or... Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, I saw it coming from the beginning. I was like, oh, she trying to check out episode one.
Right. He called her from a payphone and said, let's meet up.
Mm-hmm.
He set her up. But better yet, she set herself up as well.
Honestly, you know, I don't even think Detective Howard was going to do that until Kanan really started, like, you know, unveiling what she knows. Like, she knows.
Right.
Like,
yo, you know what? Kanan might have... Kanan did this. Kanan called it. You know what I mean? Kanan was like, yo, she knows too much.
Yeah, because he kept going. Like, he said it. He was like, yeah, she approached me with this, that, and the third. She knows, whatever.
She knows everything.
Detective Howard was like, all right, I'm going to handle it. But then it came back again.
Right.
Kanan was like, no, I don't think you understand. She knows da 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 da. And then they all gave him that look like, you know what you got to do.
Exactly. Kanan called the dogs on Detective Burke. That's crazy. That is crazy.
Because he didn't just say it once. He like reiterated like, she's got to go.
She knows everything. I think she told Kanan more. She admitted to Kanan that she knows more about them than she admitted to Howard before he killed her. Like, I don't think Howard knew she knew that much. But Kanan knew.
I don't think so either.
Kanan knew and he was like, nope. Like you said, Kim, he went into detail. Yo, she knows this. She knows that. She knows everything. Mm-hmm. Which is, and it, also, did you think that the captain was kind of OD with suspending her? Or did you think it was warranted?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was warranted. I thought that it was just, yo, you know what? You're obsessed with this Howard thing. Take a day off. You know what I mean? Or go home. This is not the right time. There was just a shooting. We got to get all this shit together. But to say, give me your gun and badge, like just off the rip like that, I felt like that was a little bit premature.
Yeah, it was a little unfair. I could see him like taking her off the case, but it was kind of a little extreme. And I just wonder how this is going to circle back. Like, is the captain going to realize that, oh shit, she was telling the truth and like something's going to be done about it?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he going to continue like try to like sweep it under the rug? Like, I'm just really curious to see how that's going to play out. But yeah, I felt like he really was just writing her off, maybe because she's a woman.
That too.
You know, like,
that too.
That probably had a lot to do with it.
I think so. And I hate that they're going to do this, but they're probably going to try to make it look like a suicide. She lost her job and she lost her girlfriend, right? She said, she already said she has nothing left. Howard did switch the guns. He took the gun she had and then left the gun that he popped her with in her pocket. Luckily, he ran through her pockets and took the tape recorder.
That doesn't make sense, though, right? Because whatever bullet is retrieved is not going to be from that gun, and she won't have any gun residue on her hands.
She won't, right? But this is the early 90s. I don't know if they're going to make it. I don't know if they're going to, you know, look into it that much. I mean, it's a cop being killed. They should, as far as the gun residue. But he put the gun in her pocket that he shot her with, right? So it wouldn't make sense that she had a gun that wasn't shot in her pocket. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
But as far as the suicide thing,
mm-hmm.
You're right. If she, it's not going to look like it was, like you can run all the ballistics and whatever and see that it wasn't self-inflicted from like, I guess the angle and, the gun residue won't be on her hands, as you said, but this is not like, CSI. I don't think they're going to get into it that deep, but they should definitely like Howard shouldn't just be able to just walk away with this. Like, he's got to be brought in for questioning, even if he beats it. Like, they can't just be like, oh, Detective Burke killed herself and we know why. And like, let's move on.
Yeah. That was crazy. I mean, she was asking for it from the, even her dad was like, chill out, and she just wouldn't let it go.
I guess
her own grip.
How much longer could we have watched, or would we have tolerated her stalking Detective Howard? I mean, she was doing this for quite a while. It was like Greg, like after a while, like we were ready to see Greg go.
She did it all last season. It's like, there's no sense of us watching her do it all this season.
Right. Like, everything that happened, she tried to draw back to Raquel. Even, you know, when Sam, I think Sam kind of, like, somewhat started it. Remember when she, did Sam come to her, or did she go to Sam, and Sam was like, yo, I saw what actually happened, and it wasn't that person. It was a young kid, blah, blah, blah. And then she...
Did she bring him in?
Yeah, she brought him in. She arrested him. And then he was like, you know, they had to release him, but she kept in touch with him. And I believe they were supposed to meet again, but that's when Marvin went in and, you know, offed him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she was gung-ho on getting them, exposing them, but foolish of her to meet up with Howard where she met up with him. And what was the purpose of the tape recorder?
Right, because when I saw the setup, I was like, I know damn well they're not meeting there.
Right.
Like, getting in her car, and it was no light. It was creepy as hell. Like, why not meet in a parking lot? Like, or, like you said, a diner or somewhere where there's people, where there's light. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out in the next few episodes, for sure.
Yeah, please get to that. They got to get to that in episode two. Like, I hate sometimes when things happen and then they just don't get to that side of the story until, like, the episode after the next episode. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't think there's too many. I mean, we probably will be introduced to one or two more new storylines. But I want to get to, not to the bottom of it because it just started, but I want to see where it goes from here, because it can't just be okay, it's suicide.
Right. Exactly. So it'll be interesting, but I saw it coming based on how she was acting in the beginning, but I just didn't know it was going to go down like that so quick.
Yeah.
Like, it just, when he shot her, I literally jumped off the couch.
I did too. I was like, holy shit.
But it was quick.
Yes.
I was sudden.
I didn't even see him reaching the first time.
Either. It was just like, to me, it was like, shut the fuck up. And he just shot her.
Right.
And I like jumped off the couch. I scared my dog.
It wasn't even like a tussle. It was very fast. It wasn't even like a tussle, like a struggle. It was just like, oh, word, you know all that?
Yeah.
Pull, aim, shoot. Yeah, it was crazy.
Even if you saw it coming, it came so fast.
Right.
It still was kind of like a trigger. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, that was. And then it was like part of her head was like on the window.
Yeah.
Blood splattered and everything.
Yeah. That part was messy.
Yeah. Damn, I didn't know Howard was like that either. I mean, geez.
I don't know if he is like that. Like, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe he's becoming that. Yeah. But I don't know if that's originally who he's been.
Right. Right.
But he's just being put in this situation where, I mean, she had to go or everybody was going down.
Yeah. Yeah. She definitely. Well, she was going to try. But like I said, I thought the whole suspending her thing was premature. Like, partially, like, you're right, Kim, because she's a woman. Because I don't know. Something else should have happened there where it's just something should have happened before he suspended her to the point where it's like, yo, go home. You're not dealing with this. We're separating you from... Didn't they already separate her and Howard once?
I think they did. I mean, she was definitely told to, like, keep her distance. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop investigating him. Just
let
it go. And then the first thing she said out of her mouth in the hospital, I was, like, not even expecting her to say that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, she's dying, like, ASAP. Because she's still on that shit hard.
Right. I know it's only episode one of season three. Do you have any death predictions? I mean, obviously for me, if Burke didn't die this episode, she would have definitely been in my top three to die. Do you have any death predictions for this season, Kim?
Not specifically. I don't know. This is season three. I think maybe like a major hitter has got to go.
Okay.
Like maybe one of the big three.
One of the big three? Maybe Rock, Lou. Marvin, or Lou?
Yeah. Like, it just seems like, I don't know how they could keep going and like surviving these kind of unrealistic
attacks, right? And just attacks. Getting grazed. Like Marvin.
Something significant
is
going to happen. But I can't say specifically that, like, oh, this, I mean, it definitely would have been Detective Burke, and that already happened. So, it could be Ronnie based on the stuff that you said. Mm-hmm. So that could be a thing, but no, I think it's way too early for me to identify, like, okay, that person's got to get out of here. That person's going to die.
Got
what
you.
If Nick dies?
I don't think he's dying. I think he's going to do some killing though.
anything can happen in the season.
Right. Duran, who do you think? Do you have any death predictions?
Oh, man. I want to say Marvin, now that he's at peace with Jukebox.
Uh-huh.
Ronnie's got to go. And I'm going to just go.
Well, Ronnie ain't even did nothing yet.
Well,
he about
just
to
from know. Looking at him, just from looking at him and hearing him speak, he got to go.
Yeah,
he got to go. And no, Rock's probably going to stay for another season. Marvin's going to stay, but I got to say Unique.
You think Unique going to go?
Mm-hmm. Because the more he stands around with, the more he finds himself falling in love with Rock, the more Rock is going to use that to her advantage. Nice. He's going to use him. He's going to get him killed.
Right.
That could be.
Ronnie is dead. I think he's one of those characters that they introduce solely for the purpose of him dying. You know what I mean? Like, some characters come in and they're not going to be in for a while. It's pretty much like the professors that Tariq had, where you'll see him and then you won't. You know what I mean? Even the drug dealer who was Noma's husband, like, the way we met him for a season and then he was killed off. Like, Ronnie's not making it to season four. I don't know if Ronnie could actually be Breeze. Who knows? But I don't think Ronnie is going to make it. And for some reason, I've always been thinking, like, since last season, I thought Famous was going to die. I thought Famous should have been killed after he made that song talking about a buck and two quarters, or buck and two dimes, buck 20. But I don't know if Famous is going to make it through this season. He's still his annoying self, but I got to remember, like, they are, like, what, 15, 16-year-old kids right now? But, yeah.
Well, it's like, think about it, like, what is he going to contribute? What is he going to do? He's not doing the music thing. The music thing is, like, pretty much done because the studio's a lot. So, what's going to... And he's not a killer. He's not really...
Does he know his sister's dead?
No.
Wait, Fang?
His sister died, right? That was his sister. That Lou's girlfriend is his sister, right?
That girl? That ain't his sister.
No.
His sister is the one that was fucking around with Lou, and then she moved out to L.A.
Oh, okay. That's right. That's right.
Like Jessica or something?
That's right.
That was the other girl.
Oh, okay. The one that died was the one that... Okay, I got you. I'm tripping.
That was the one that was Cartier's girl.
Right. Cartier's artist.
Okay.
Yeah, niece or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess Fame would just be there to be Kanan's friend. He's going to be Kanan's friend, and him and Kanan are going to get into and out of trouble. But how long is that going to last? Fame did catch a body last season, and they'll probably be no blowback from that. I don't think too many people were worried about that guy dying. But I want to see what happens with Fame. And is there anything to happen with him? I mean, I don't know.
Trying to think of how his character can develop from here.
Right. But Ronnie looks like trouble. Ronnie looks like a lot of trouble. Pernessa doesn't want him around. It looks like he's trying to already manipulate Unique.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't miss a thing, by the way. He asked him, you know, what happened to your wrist or your arm or whatever. And Unique lied to him.
Cut.
Right. So, yeah, he's very observant. Who knows?
He knows when he's lying, too.
Right, exactly. He said, you always bullshitting. So, and he knows who Raquel is. He even said to him, you know, Raquel got you back at the entry-level shit. So, we know that him and Raquel aren't friends, or he doesn't like her. So, we'll see what happens with that. I don't think Ronnie's going to make it through this season. I wouldn't be surprised if Unique is the one that has to kill him, because it already looks like he's going after, or he's going to try to go after whatever it is Rock has, or what he think Rock has.
Yeah. Do we know how DEFCON died?
I don't think they got
to. Did he die in jail?
I think he died in jail. I mean, I don't think they've ever, like, explain. It was just a random thought.
Right.
I just wonder how he died. Like, I don't know.
That's it for me. You guys got anything else do you want to talk about or?
Yep.
No, I mean, I think that covered everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was pretty pretty stacked first episode.
Yes.
I mean, because we obviously had a lot to talk about and like unpack.
Right.
And I think it was a really good first episode. I hope it sets the tone, and you know, we're gonna have these very informative unpacking types of conversations after everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it.
I am curious to know, like, what is Rock gonna do? She says she's getting out the game. How's she gonna do that? Yeah. What's that fallout like?
Yeah, and she's not getting out the game. Like you said, one or two episodes. Episode three, something's gonna happen. They're gonna be back at it.
Yeah, because she's gonna realize she knows better. She knows better. She knows she can't leave.
Right.
That's just, you don't leave. That's the same shit she was telling Lou.
Yeah.
When Lou been trying to leave.
Correct.
You know, and now she's saying she's trying to leave, and it's like very contradictory to what she said to him.
Right.
And it'd be interesting to see like what their relationship is like, and with Lou and Marvin and Kanan all knowing her shit now. Like,
yeah.
What is that gonna be like?
Right.
So there's a lot. I mean, they set the tone for a lot of shit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, I look forward to it all. We'll be back next week. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Deron.
No problem. Can't wait to leave.
Yes. Peace.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Limitless Experience with Eric. Spread love. Peace out.